Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
So let's jump into today's show. So Francesca Moy has been basically started fresh as a new entrepreneur in Australia when she moved from Italy. Francesca has a very big personality, a great smile, and you will meet her energy when you see the show. The Skype call dropped out a couple of times, but that didn't stop us soldiering on, and the energy just goes from strength to strength. So I'm really excited to have you meet Francesca Moy today. She also co-wrote a book called Bums on Seats, and that was with our guest from episode number 4, Natasha Denman. So together they are just a power couple. I've had the pleasure of actually meeting them in Melbourne at their book launches and different events. But basically Francesca built a networking meetup group and became the meetup queen because her group went from 0 members to 10,000 people, and she grew a 6-figure income by basically the power of networking. And her book, Follow Me, Shut Up and Build Your Network, is pretty simple. They cover off techniques and great things in how to get around the right like-minded people, and her company Empowering Events basically does that and helps you. So we cover off a few different tips. So it is a great pleasure. So without further ado, let's meet Francesca Moy. Hi Francesca, and welcome to the Razor Sharp Show.
Hi Ray, thank you for having me.
No problems. How have you been?
Awesome. I've been so cool. I just came back from Melbourne. Full on 10 days with Natasha Denman, one event after the other. It was just so crazy, but so, so, so cool.
Excellent. Now, I had the pleasure of meeting you last night at
Yes. Your
book launch, Bums on Seats. So I've got my own very copy, and fantastic. I already started reading it last night. With the Razor Sharp brand, you know, events and bringing people together is really, really big. And, it was great to be in the room, and you're so busy. And I actually interviewed Natasha a few weeks ago. She's episode number 4. So she got in really early in the show and supported the show. So anyone who wants to hear that, check it out. But now we have the pleasure of meeting yourself.
That's really cool. Natasha is my sister from another mother. Yeah. As they say, and we do a lot of collaboration together, and we wrote this book, Bums and Seats, and it was great to have you last night. Thank you for coming.
No,
it was great. So many people, and everyone so warm, and I was saying it was a room full of dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved your dolphin analogy. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
The world needs definitely more dolphins, and we'll cover that off later, I'm sure.
As a business owner, how do I know if putting on an event is right for me?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, as a business owner, putting an event on, I don't think it can be wrong. I don't think you can go wrong and not run an event successfully. You know, if you are a business owner, that means that your business will grow with people. And people are the ones that are going to attend your event, hopefully. So it's super important to grow your following and grow your community. And by running events, that will really make it, faster for you to meet people and build that trust in a live event.
So what was it for you that got you out of your comfort zone? Was it just, you mentioned repetition, but was there something that got you really outside your comfort zone?
Look, mindset is very powerful. And for me, the comments of the people that were coming to my events, they were saying, that it was helping them a lot and they were enjoying it and, just the community. And I was seeing how much good it was doing that I just had to put myself second and said, it's not about me. My fear is, if I don't do this event, there's people that, you know, they're not going to step out of their comfort zone. So it was really to give. Like, I started to get addicted to the how good it is for people to come to these events and have a community, right? Because a lot of us business owners, we work all day by ourselves, and it's so hard.
Absolutely. And you make a good point that when you do these events, it's more about the people you are, you know, servicing and the gift that you're giving to them, giving back and making them more of the cause than you just self-motivate and you put yourself second, which is a great motivator because, you know, you don't want to let other people down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. And so was Follow Me the first, is that still part of your main business, the Follow Me? What are you doing Follow Me?
Yeah. So Follow Me started because I was... as I said, I was a life coach and I was fully booked. All of a sudden, after doing events, people were like, I want you as my coach. And I was fully booked, but I was still not confident enough to put my price up. So I was just charging $50 an hour. So I was fully booked. And people start to ask me, can you teach me how to run event and how to become fully booked like you are?
Wow.
I'm like, oh, of course. So that's how Follow Me started, because I realized that I not only run events, but I create a following on Facebook, on social media, and people want to know what I do during the day. They want to know, you know, they look forward to my video, to my update. So I decided that, you know, Follow Me would have been a great name for my training. So I do a half-day workshop where I teach people how to create a following and how important are numbers. You know, the more people you are in front of and you are exposed to, the more people are going to convert into a client. So it's literally business is a number game.
Is there a way to work out which type of event is right for my business, whether it's webinars or, you know, in-person events?
Look, I do believe, and Natasha Denman, my sister from another mother, we collaborate together a lot, and we both believe that from our experience, it's really important to be famous offline before you go online. So I get a number of people that ask me how come and how did my last two webinars that I ran had over 250 and 350 registrants each. And the reason is because I've never done webinars before. Those are my first two. And the reason is because I've got a massive network thanks to the events that I've done live. So all these people that have been watching me on Facebook doing so many events live, they're now saying, oh, she's coming to my home in a webinar. Of course I'm gonna join it. It's right here. So it's, you know, it's free, it's here, it's comfortable, I don't have to dress up, I don't have to make an effort, so I'm gonna join your webinar. But if I did the same webinar a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I started to do my live events, I would have got no one, because there's no need. Nobody knows me. Nobody, you know, they wouldn't go and join in a webinar someone that don't have a following yet. They don't have enough credibility yet.
And so if there's one little bit of tip that you can share with the Razor community, how can you get people to create, you know, what some people are calling a tribe, or, you know, your raving fans, people who are dying to see your videos?
But those people are the people that everyone can have raving fans. There's nothing special about me. It's about being yourself. People love genuinity and authenticity, and unfortunately, there's not much around the world. A lot of the time, you see someone on Facebook, and you think they are awesome, and then you see them live, and they're different, and you go, oh, you don't sound the same. But what a lot of my raving fans tell me is that they follow me online makes them want to know me, and when they come and meet me at the event, I'm exactly it. I'm not different, right? Yeah. I don't act any different because I'm myself in the videos.
So Razor community, you know, listen to what Francesca's saying. Be uniquely yourself and you will automatically create raving fans, and you don't need to be anyone special because anyone can have raving fans. Awesome.
Absolutely. Awesome. Be yourself. That's what people want to see.
Yeah. And you know, and I think you're very right when you say that, you know, sometimes you see people on Facebook and social and they're one way, and then you meet them in real life and you think, is that the same person? But if you're uniquely yourself, then you're just going to shine through everything you do. And it's very hard to copy someone who's been uniquely them because there's only one of them. So
absolutely. And that's everyone's fear. A lot of people come to my events, to my workshop, and say, Francesca, you are teaching this strategy to everyone, you wrote a book. What if everyone does it? There's not going to be unique anymore. I'm like, well, that's not true, because I teach people how to be unique because they are themselves. Mm. So there's never another person like you. So every event is going to be different because they, you know, the organizer is different. So don't worry about what other people does. That's what, unfortunately, a lot of businesses want to do. They worry about what other people do. Just concentrate on yourself.
Absolutely. Beautiful. I love that. Fantastic. All right. Let's get to know you a little bit better with some of the more common questions that I ask. So what's something that you've crossed off your list today?
Oh, I like that. One thing that I cross off the list that every single day is meditation. Awesome. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is, you know, that meditation on feeling grateful of the amazing life that I'm living and everything, all the people that were last night there. So I just spend 10 minutes in bed on my snooze button. and it's beautiful because a lot of the time I might even fall back asleep and dreaming about all the people that I'm grateful to, which is wonderful.
Excellent. And I think it's great how you shared too, because you've made it really simple. It's 10 minutes. It's nothing over the top. It doesn't have to be something that takes too much out of your day, and you just build that routine and habit. Love it.
Yeah, and I don't even stand up. It's not that I stand up and I do all that stuff.
Yeah, that's, cool.
You just sit there and think, you know, it's
keep
a different
simple.
Way. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Love it.
I guess, do you have any tips to share with the Razor community for building that initial audience and, I guess, managing it, whether it's through, like, email newsletters and or, you know, social media engagement to really, you know, set them up to want to come to an event when you put it on?
Yes. So what I have used and I found it really powerful is meetup.com, which is my little strategy and tool that I found so valuable, and all my clients are just running events and now getting 1,000, 2,000 people joining their group. And those groups, of course, they're all Meetup, but then you put them on Facebook as well. So the same type of Meetup as a community that you have live, you're going to move them slowly into an online community on Facebook. And then from there, you keep building trust. So the live event is what you want to do. And usually, a networking event is what get people going. It's get people, oh yeah, I want to go because there's something in it for me. I want to find a client. I want to grow my network. So a lot of the time, most of the clients that come to me and they want to start a community, I always suggest to start with something simple as a networking event. And there's never enough a networking event in a city because everyone's different. Everyone, have a different flavor. So everyone of us, each every person, will run an event a little bit slightly differently. There will be a different people. There will be different energy in the room. There will be different speakers. So there is never enough networking events around, especially if you're yourself. People will come, and it will be a different vibe.
So what's a book that you've read recently that's changed your life?
A book that really, 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 really touched me is Dying to Be Me.
Ah, cool.
It's a great book, and it talks about something that is a common denominator with all these super successful people, which is, you are first. Look after yourself. Find your passion. Follow it. Don't live the life that your parents are asking you to live. Don't live the life that society tell you you should live. And I'm so passionate about that because until 31 years old, I did everything that my mom and dad wanted me to do, but it was nothing that I wanted to do.
Yeah, right. Love it. Cool. Razor community, if you want to get a growing list of books that all the guests have spoken to, head over to the website razorsharpshow.com. There's a full list there of all the books that have been recommended by the show guests. So we'll add that to the list. Thank you for that. I think it's great to know, you know, books that have changed lives, because there's lots of books out there. And obviously, you know, with what you and Natasha are doing, there's lots of books that have been published. And each book has a purpose, whether it's to educate. But I think it's the ones that inspire and change lives that have that ripple effect. So that's fantastic. So obviously within business, you know, as entrepreneurs, there's ups and downs. Tell me a time where maybe you've felt defeated, and what did you do to bounce out?
So many times. You know?
I know.
There's so many ups and downs. And even a few weeks ago, I was like, this is so hard. And, you know, I've got so many connections that I could anytime give all of this up and go and work for anyone and, you know, improve their business and just work for someone and just do 9 to 5. And when you're done, right? But that will, you know, the thing that doesn't make me do that is the realization that that will kill me inside. I know that if I go back to a normal job working for someone, I wouldn't be as passionate. I wouldn't be as creative. I wouldn't be as, you know, motivated. Like I can work 20 hours a day and I love every second of it. I don't feel I'm tired. I don't feel I'm sick. I've been sick for the last 10 days. I just keep going, right? Because I love it. I love talking to people and I love, you know, I've been so privileged to be told a few times that I inspire people. And I go, really? Oh, this is so cool. And I just want to keep doing it. It's just that massive pull toward this that it's just impossible going against it. So, yeah, there is a lot of tough moments. And there are a lot of moments that even if you do make $25,000 a month, there's a month that you go, what happened? There's no money in the bank account. What's happening? Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, there's a lot of expenses. We are in business. It's going to always be ups and downs, but if this is our true passion, it's a no-brainer.
That's great advice, to keep it really simple in the first instance and I guess learn from that, from actually doing it. In terms of like a run sheet or an agenda for your events, do you have...
Oh, yeah.
Like how do you set it out? Do you have like a strict document that you follow minute to minute or do you just chunk out various bits where things should approximately happen?
Look, we have an agenda of the night that I've got a copy. The guest speaker got a copy. My assistant got a copy. My volunteers have a copy. Even the photographer, we give them a copy. And then, of course, I'm on stage. So usually, as you know, when you're on stage, you're on floor. So it's harder to keep a track of time. And that's why we've got the volunteers at the back with the timers and they sort of give you signs when you need to move on to the next part of the night. So we usually stick to it. But again, like, you know, if you see that people are enjoying a networking game or a presentation, you're not going to cut it, you know, like that just because time is gone. So you play a little bit around with it. I always tend to listen to what the clients want. So last night, for example, we had an amazing networking cocktail party and we decided not to have any speaker. It was literally and genuinely to connect with people and it was so much fun. And we had planned a couple of games, but one of the games took so much longer than what we expected. So we just canceled another game. Nobody noticed the difference in the night, but we fixed sort of that issue going, oh, if we do both games, it's going to be too long. So you just have to adjust and be ready to jump on it and see where the night is going and how much fun everyone is having.
And I think it is, for the Razor community out there, I think it is important to put a run sheet together and not just on the night as well. I'd be interested to know in your process, is it as simple as maybe like the week before just writing up a Word document with some times and some items and sharing it with everyone involved, or is there a bit more to it?
No, look, I usually just do a briefing on the night with the people, the volunteers and the people in the room. Of course, my assistant and I will plan the events a little bit in advance. But, you know, there is different type of events. And now, being that I've been running events for 2 years, my events are a little bit more in depth. You know, we do a lot of more things. But at the beginning, I don't suggest to just do it as natural as you can and people will love and appreciate any type of event that you put together as long as it's fun and as long as it's genuine and as long as it's not salesy and as long as it's, you know, everyone is something in for everyone.
Excellent, excellent. Now, so you obviously run a lot of events. Bums on Seats book was about, you know, getting people to promote and prepare themselves and, more importantly, profit from these events. So someone who's been in the event game for a very long time, what are some of your, you know, what are the benefits of running events and do they need to be free, paid? Just share with the Razor community a little bit about your event experiences and how they can work for your business.
Yes. So what we found, Natasha and I, we were doing the same thing. We were running events for the community. We were nurturing our community online and offline, right? So we were nurturing a community on Facebook, on Meetup for me, and we were taking those people on a very low-cost event, which for me, sometimes I do free tickets and sometimes I do, you know, $15, $20, $25 events where it's a low cost where people come along and they will check you out. There's so much noise online that it's really hard to stand out and really hard to build trust with people when they don't see you face to face. That's probably why you're doing the podcast with a video, right?
Because that's right.
It's true because most of us are visual. And most of us, we are kinesthetic. We want to feel the person. We want to see them and check them out and see if they are really what they're meant to, they look like on Facebook or are they real?
Yeah.
Right? So I love the fact that, you know, when you put people in front of you live, that's the there's a massive selection happening, right? They like you or they don't like you. And that's perfect because you're not wasting time nurturing people that don't like you. They're never going to talk well about you, right? They're never going to come back to the event. They stop following. Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, great. And I think that you've covered off a really good point in regards to using events as a bit of a way of qualifying your audience and, you know, let them kind of decide whether they're going to join you for the long ride or whether they just come in there for the free ride and, you know, they come and go. So I definitely agree with the events being used that way. And do the events have to be complicated or can they be just simple seminar rooms, some chairs, guest speaker, or do you find that the more perfected ran events have a better impact?
So I am a little bit the wow factor. I love to get people to be, you know, surprisingly happy about an event. So one of the things that make me start meetups is because I was going to meetup events in Australia and I was going, what's happening? Like, it looks like it's a family meeting. Nobody talks to not even a family meeting. Like, I was going to these pubs and go, sorry, is this a meetup? Like, I didn't even know what that was. And it's not inviting. It's not, you know, you don't want to go back because that moment is so scary, you know, to break the ice.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to run events that I'm going to make it easy for people to come along and network. You know, networking, it can be really tough if the organizer doesn't help you. So I would like, you know, get people in, do a massive check-in, so make them feel welcome, tell them what's in the night. So it doesn't need much effort, but, you know, a little bit of love at the event helps and people feel more comfortable and they will come back.
Love that. The wow factor. I definitely know that I've gone to a lot of meetups and they just are, I know exactly what you mean, where you
don't
know
shocking.
If they're a meetup or not. And, you know, and yeah, so that's been, that's a great share.
Yeah.
So Razor community, get out of your comfort zone. If you are looking to run events, you don't need anything too complicated, but just make people feel wowed and throw in that little bit of spice of love.
Yeah. And you asked me I would have a guest speaker or not. I would definitely have a guest speaker because even if you and I were both super awesome, people might get, you know, sick of your tips all the time, right? So that's what you do as well. You get a guest speaker to add value. But, of course, people can hear you and you put a little bit of tips in between as well, which is your magic, right?
Yeah.
So I put my 15 minutes of magic in at the beginning of my events before the guest speaker. So my community get to know me, like me and trust me, and I get to have a chance to give them a little bit of my magic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I did is I started emceeing events because that meant that I could, you know, throw my little tips and tricks in the middle. I'd become the glue of the event, but I didn't have to actually do all the content. So emceeing was a good way of me getting a lot more comfortable on the stage because for some reason, emceeing was a little bit more less nerve-wracking for me than actually coming up with the content and delivering it. So
there you go,
You know, so that's good. Excellent, excellent.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what should we avoid when we're planning events? Are there common obstacles or pitfalls that you see?
Look, the common thing is the promotion. People put an event together, maybe even use Meetup as a platform to advertise the event, and all they do is they schedule the event, and then the day before they leave it like that, and thinking that, you know, people will see it and people will RSVP, and they don't want to email them and annoy them, you know, the event is right there. And then 2 days before, they look at the numbers and they panic. And they go, oh, there's no one booked. What am I going to do? So that's the biggest issue. You know, people don't realize that we are all very busy. If you tell people once, yeah, I've got an event, but then you don't keep reminding them, even if they pay for it, they're not going to come along. They're going to forget. They didn't put it on their calendar. There's so many things that are going to interfere in the life for them not to come along. So it's up to us as organizers to make sure that we promote, and I can't say that enough. Promotion is everything. Even myself, if I stop promoting an event, nobody will show up. Nobody will RSVP, nobody will pay a ticket. So it's about the perception. The biggest mistake is not enough promotion.
That works in nicely to my next question of, what I really wanted to know from your experience, Francesca, is how do I actually get people to the event? You know, how do we write an invitation that people are going to, you know, firstly open, secondly read, yes, and then thirdly, you know, take action and RSVP?
Yeah. Yes. So a lot of the time, I can see it now from the emails that we send as well. You can see that the first email invitation, they sort of open it, they click on it, but nobody actually buy the ticket yet. They're just checking you out and see, let's see if how many people will go. So I call it the sheep effect. What I suggest to everyone, nobody will go to an event there's no one going. Nobody will go to an event that there is only two or three people that looks like they're going on Facebook. Yeah, you know, when you look at an event on Facebook, it says there's two people going. People will check it out going, oh, it's going to be awkward. What if nobody show up? It's just me and the organizer. What am I going to do? I'm going to be stuck there. Everyone's fear is to stand out, to be the only one doing something and nobody else going, right? So we want to avoid that happening to our people. So we need to tell them how many people are coming. We need to, even if we don't have the number yet, we're going to say, we are aiming to get 50 people in the room. It's going to be amazing. So get your ticket now. And you know, you need to tell people that that's what you are aiming for if you don't have it yet. And of course, as soon as you get some tickets in, you're going to start to say, hey, we've got 15 people joining. It's still 2 weeks to go. Make sure you grab your ticket. It's going to be so much fun and all that stuff. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like about understanding, why would people come along to your event if you don't show me how amazing this event is going to be, how many people are going to be coming to the event. So sometimes to fill up an event, what we do is use what I call it my sheep effect technique, which is going to your friends and family, all the people that you know, and say, hey, do you mind just click going on the event so it looks like there's more people going? And it's a little bit cheeky, but it actually works every single time. And that's what you do at the beginning. What I do now, of course, and what you should do after you've done the first event, then you should use the people in the room to be your sheep effect for the next event. So on the room, you say, at the first event, you say, guys, I appreciate so much you taking the time to come here tonight. I would love to offer you a free event to all of you to the next event, which is in 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or whatever. So everyone will join the next event straight away on the night. So when you go the day after announcing the next event, you're saying there is already 20 people that are coming. What are you waiting for? Get your ticket because it's going to be fully booked soon.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yes, that's literally understanding the people. People don't want to go to something there's no one going. People don't want to stand out and look like a loser that I'm going to an event there's only two people attending. People are afraid of those things. So you need to avoid it by giving them what they want, which is a crowd. I want to go to an event there's a lot of people and good people.
Now, I know last night and at the start of this call, you spoke about dolphins and sharks. Share with the Razor community what that is all about.
Okay, so I know and I've been there. I've been bitten from a shark in business, and I know that a lot of my clients are terrified, right? There's a lot of sharks out there, and this is how I explain it. We are all in an entrepreneurship. So we are in a big ship on the ocean.
Yeah.
And we are in the ocean, and sometimes there's a, you know, the waves are very high. Sometimes it's like calm and everything is beautiful and perfect. That's exactly how we feel, right?
Exactly like business.
It is like that, right? So then you go, all right, let's go and swim. You know, you look in the ocean and you can see all these fins, and you think they're dolphins. So you go, I want to swim with the dolphins. So you go and swim, and you get closer and closer and closer, and you realize that one of those fins is a shark. And actually eating all the dolphins, and you know, eventually if you hang around near the shark, you're going to get bitten as well.
Excellent. So be around more dolphins because they're playful, they're fun. You know, they got a warm feeling, they got better energy, and they don't bite.
And they want to collaborate. They want to help each other. Win-win.
Absolutely. And that's very, very important. So who are some of the people who help you win-win? Like, how important is networking and having the right people around yourself?
It's huge. So Natasha Denman, of course, is one of them, right? She's amazing. She's a giver. She's generous. And just, you know, she keeps sharing all her tips with all her people and everyone. And it's just amazing, right? And the other person would be Jacqueline Nagel, which is my mentor. And this is exactly how I met her as well. She was speaking at an event. I approached her, asked her to speak at my event. And then from there, it was magic because she mentored me for a long time, and it was beautiful.
Excellent. So collaborating, being dolphins again. Fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. So all my success stories are all from collaboration.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah. Excellent. And that's been a common theme with a lot of the interviews I've been doing. You know, the thing that I've kind of been saying is together we are better. And when we bring more of the like-minded people together, that's what I hope that the show does and the Razor community, and to the point where we start running live events where people can actually meet each other.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay, so say it's event day.
Yes.
What should we be doing or making a priority for today?
Event day. Look, you actually asked me a really good question, the one before, so I just gave you one solution. Can I give you a couple of more?
Please do, absolutely.
The one is Facebook Live. One will be email your database again, and we actually did that yesterday as well, and we got 5 more bookings just from the last email. And we sent an email to the whole database, even people in Melbourne and Sydney, and we said if you are not in the city, doesn't matter, you can join us live at 6:55. We're going to be on Facebook Live, and you can get a prize for the person that is commenting the most or giving us most likes or whatever it is that you want to give. So at least also everywhere else in Australia knows the amazing events that I've run, and then they want to learn how to do it, and that's how they're going to approach me. Yeah, but for you, it will be, you want to still promote it everywhere, because one day when you offer it, go interstate, people already know that you're running successful events in Melbourne or wherever you are, and they need to check you out whenever you are in town. So it's really important. So that was number 2 that we did. And then the other thing that you want to do, of course, if you have a meetup group, is to send an email to all the meetup people again, and that's part of the email. But then you want to comment and post everywhere on Facebook, everywhere on Meetup, going, I can't wait for tonight. Send an email, an SMS out to all the people that booked and say, hey, are you coming tonight? Yes or no? Let me know, because I need to know for the room numbers and stuff. So just be on people's faces the whole 2 or 3 days before the event, all the way until the time of the event. That's really important. And then going back to the second question that you asked me there, on the day of the event, look, we're still trying to change that. The ideal would be just relax so you can give your best at night. But it actually never happens. The day of the event is always like, oh, we should have done that. Okay, let's do it now. And we just do things at last minute. And the best idea always come when it's fresh, when it's happening, you know. So we actually never give up on ideas, and we do everything the last minute. But the last day, you want to have the whole preparation done, and it will be just, you know, make sure that you have a checklist where you can follow and say, all right, well, we need to pack in our bag for tonight so we don't forget anything, and, you know, like cables and connection to the television or whatever, how you're showing your presentation, and you know, a little bit of touch up on the presentation. And there's so many. The day of the event is more of logistic, but there's a lot of marketing as well happening.
Love that. Well, Raise a Community, that's a wonderful gift from Natasha, who was in episode number 4, and now Francesca. So just get onto the links will be on the show notes. Well, Francesca, it's been absolutely pleasure interviewing you today. Is there any parting advice that you'd love to share with the Raise a Community?
Well, one of the biggest things that I have learned in business, and I'll keep doing it, and I keep have to remind myself, is to be myself. And to don't worry who get upset and who gets annoyed, they're not your target market. So don't worry about those people, don't worry about the complaints. As long as you've done your best and you are the best version of yourself that you can be, you are perfect.
Perfect, love that. That's a great thing to end off. Be uniquely yourself and don't worry about what others say, because they're just going to get in the way of your success, which is waiting there for you if you cut through the bullshit.
Absolutely. That's really, you said that really good.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you very much for that, Francesca. It's been great having you on the show. And remember, until next time, always be learning and stay sharp.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Raise a Community, I hope you enjoyed that fun interview with Francesca Moy. It's now time to apply what you have learned. That's right. Knowledge that you know and don't apply is pointless. Get out there, sharpen your own saw, and more importantly, become razor sharp by teaching others what you know. That's the power of knowledge. The ripple effect that you can create is endless. So that's how we remain razor sharp. And until next time, always be learning and stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.